Today, an updated economic snapshot. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to the latest post covering finance and property news with a distinctively Australian flavour. Today, I want to explore some of the economic data which has been presented by Westpac in their excellent monthly Red Book for July 2019. This is published via Westpac's IQ Information Service and provides an excellent summary of the current situation. They say that the rate cuts from the RBA came through earlier than expected, with two 25 basis point reductions in June and July, and they see another 25 basis point cut waiting in the wings, and possibly more if the bank is to meet its big challenge of getting the unemployment rate down to 4.5%. Meanwhile, the surprise federal election win for the coalition has removed uncertainty around tax policy and seen the government's personal income tax plans pass into legislation. And they say that the housing markets have also improved, responding to both lower rates and the reduced uncertainty around tax. Indeed, they say, there are now signs that prices are stabilising in the Sydney and Melbourne markets, to which I reply, improved, yes, in terms of the rate of collapse. It has slowed, but that's about it. Westpac then says that pretty much that's where the good news ends. The Westpac Melbourne Institute Consumer Sentiment Index has registered a 4% fall since the April report, and sentiment can often weaken when the RBA cuts rates, but this is usually when some other shock is rolling through, such as the GFC. There is no such shock hitting at the moment. At 96.5, the index is at a two-year low and firmly in pessimistic territory. The main driver has been a sharp deterioration in expectations for the economy. The economy next 12 months subindex slumped 16.4% over the May to July period to its lowest level in 4 years. And the economy next 5 years subindex also declined materially, falling 6.7%. Deteriorating expectations for the economy look to have outweighed any near-term support from lower interest rate and tax relief. The finance next 12 months subindex also recorded a sharp 8% fall, moving back into net pessimistic territory for the first time since late 2017. Consumer views around current conditions were better supported. The finance last 12 months subindex lifted 3% to a 5 months high, although at 85.7 it remains at weak levels overall. And consumer attitudes towards spending also improved. The time to buy a major household item subindex rose 3.6%. This will be of some relief given that views around current conditions tend to be a better guide to spending activity, they said. The weakening in sentiment despite the significant policy easing over May to July is troubling. Chart 4 shows how the current trajectory for sentiment and for the finances and economy components compares to responses over all easing cycles since 1990. Initial sentiment responses to rate cuts can often be ambivalent, as there are often other negatives in play, for example, the GFC. However, the 2019 response is at the weakest end of the range, and they say is surprisingly negative given the absence of a GFC-style threat, and that the prospect of income tax relief should also be providing some support. Westpac's CSI Composite combines sub-indices tracking views on family finance and time to buy a major item with the Westpac Consumer Risk Aversion Index and provides a good guide to spending over the next 3 to 6 months. The CSI has been better supported than wider sentiment over the last 3 months, rising 1.5% between May and July and slipping only 0.5% in the most recent month. However, it was coming from a much weaker starting point and at 89.8 remains over 12 points below its long-run average of 102.4. As such, the signal is still consistent with falling per capita consumer spending and stalled per capita retail sales. Consumer spending remained subdued in the first quarter, rising just 0.3%, following similar sized gains in the previous two quarters. At 1.8% year-on-year, annual spending growth is the slowest since 2013, with contracting slightly over the last three quarters. The expenditure mix shows a fairly clear pattern, with an abrupt downturn across discretionary items. Retail items dipped slightly, vehicle purchases rose slightly in the quarter, but were down on a year ago. Fuel spending dipped, and spending on services was subdued. And note that small renovations, something which we consider to be discretionary durables expenditure rather than investment, was also weak. The update on household incomes was a little more mixed, with a relatively solid gain in wage incomes and a reduced drag from tax payment offsets by a fall in non-wage income. The mix meant real household disposable income rose 0.4%, and annual growth remains at just 0.8%, albeit up from last quarter's dismal 0.4% over the year. Savings behaviour continues to be an important aspect of the household sector. The household savings ratio again nudged slightly higher, rising to 2.8% from 2.6% in the fourth quarter and a low of 2.5% in the third quarter. The shift is consistent with a slight wealth effect drag on demand. And they continue to see this intensifying significantly in the near term. More recent partial data suggests spending remained weak in the second quarter. Retail sales have been flat through April to May, with annual growth slowing to around 2.4% over the year, some of this likely reflecting a slowing in price inflation. Household goods and New South Wales remain notable weak spots. Vehicle sales were weakened again, with a 4.6% decline in the second quarter, to the pace of decline seen over the second half of 2018. And quarterly sales are down 10% over the year. Private business surveys point to weak conditions across the retail sector, and very weak, according to the NAB survey measure, and some further slowing in the consumer services sector, although this continues to hold up considerably better. Finally, turning to housing, the key metric used in the Housing Pulse is the Westpac Consumer Housing Sentiment Index, a composite based on the four housing-related components of the survey: the Time to Buy Dwelling Index, House Price Expectations, Unemployment Expectations, and Risk Aversion. This index provides, they say, significant insight into housing market conditions, both nationally and at an individual state level, and is particularly good at picking turning points in housing market turnover. The latest updates shows a surge in housing sentiment through June and July after a steady improvement earlier in the year. Component-wise, strong gains in time to buy dwellings, up 7.3% since May and 19.5% over the year. A spectacular recovery in house price expectations, up 33.5% since May and 6.1% over the year. And an easing in risk aversion from a record high of minus 4.2 points between March and June have been partially offset by a deterioration in unemployment expectations, up 11.2% since May and up 6.8% over the year. On a combined basis, housing sentiment is at a four-year high and is pointing to a likely recovery in sales in coming months, they say. The latest data to June shows turnover continuing to languish at extremely low levels, albeit up slightly since the start of the year, which saw turnover as a proportion of the dwelling stock hit a 30-year low. More timely market indicators point to a significant lift through June and July. In particular, auction markets showed a marked improvement, with clearance rates rising 10 percentage points, and pre-auction withdrawals normalising after running at very high levels through the second half of 2018. And note that auction activity mainly reflects conditions in the Sydney and Melbourne markets, and of course they're on very low volumes. Meanwhile, CoreLogic figures show prices dipped just 0.1% in June and have been essentially flat over the July month to date. Sydney and Melbourne have seen the most significant improvement, those markets coming from much weaker starting points. And data on listings, available weekly, confirms the more balanced market. Sales and new listings are more closely aligned, and the stock of listings has declined slightly from its high of 6 months of sales. If turnover picks up, as some would say, further improvements are likely, although this does depend on the degree to which new listings also rise. And to complete the roundup, it's worth noting the impact on household balance sheets. The falling in dwelling prices are denting household balance sheets. A prospective wealth effect drag on consumer demand stemming from this decline in house prices remains, they say, a major area of uncertainty for the Australian economy. The housing correction continues to have significant impact on household balance sheets. The total value of dwelling assets have declined $370 billion since 2017, mainly reflecting lower prices, but with a slowdown in additions to the dwelling stock also a factor. The decline amounts to 54% of annual household disposable income and is just over half of the peak-to-trough falls seen in the GFC and 2011-2012 corrections. However, the decline in total net worth is much milder at 35% of annual disposable income compared to 195% in the GFC and 108% in 2011-12, mainly reflecting solid gains in super and other assets. And this has been offset slightly, of course, by a rise in debt. So this signals to me at least the likelihood of further RBA rate cuts and more stimulus to try and drive the household confidence higher. But the housing sector apart, this may not have a significant impact. And of course, the debt burden is also so very high. As Bill Evans from Westpac put it, we are bringing forward the timing of our forecast for the next cut in the overnight cash rate by the Reserve Bank from November to October. By October, we expect that the path of the unemployment rate will be sufficiently contrary to the RBA's plans that they will have appropriate justification to ease policy a little earlier than previously expected. And he said, we recognise that September is also likely to be a live meeting, but they expect the board will wait for more data, such as the June quarter of national accounts, before moving again. And they are also revising down their terminal rate forecast from 0.75%, and they now forecast it to be 0.5%, and that to occur in February next year. Westpac's own forecast for the unemployment rate by the end of 2019 is 5.4%. The unemployment forecast is going to challenge the RBA governor, given his stated desire to achieve an unemployment rate of 4.5%. And by the way, I've refrained from publishing the DFA household survey detail because directly after the election, we did detect a bounce, but it now appears to be falling again. And I wanted an extra month's data to provide a more balanced view. Currently, the live data suggests that home buying trends are in fact weakening again, but I need more runtime before I release my next forecast. Steve Keen's Schrodinger's dead cat bounce may in fact be spot on. We will see. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.